Hello, beautiful. And what I really want to know is, what is good in your life today? I'm Kia, and this is another episode of the Female Veterans Podcast. I am really excited about this episode today because I am here with a girl of mine. Now, she's not military, but as you know, I love to highlight organizations that do work with female veterans and do amazing things for our community. And that's exactly what Tia does. But before I introduce her in, I want to talk about Juneteenth because we're recording this on Juneteenth, right? And since it's now a big holiday that's known around the country, perhaps even around the world, I want to just have a moment of remembrance because that is what this day is about. And Juneteenth, for those of you who don't know or who may just be becoming aware of this date and this title for this holiday, is it celebrates June 19th, 1865. And this is the date when Major General Gordon Granger and the Union troops reached Galveston, Texas, with the news that the Civil War had ended. So this actually took place 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. And what it represents is the end of slavery, because a lot of people didn't know that they were actually free now, right? And in a lot of far places like Texas, you know, there was a lot of confusion and people didn't know what was really going on. So this is really an important day for our ancestors and for the history of this country. And it's really important that we know about it and learn more because it's not really taught in schools. And there's so much history that is not taught in schools. So we owe it to ourselves to find out the true history of our country for ourselves, right? I'm also going to recommend a book by the same name. If you can find this book, Juneteenth is what it's called. It's by Ralph Ellison. And chapter 7 is amazing. There's this great sermon where he has these passages that are so moving. And it really, really expresses what Juneteenth represents and should represent going forward. So if you like to read like I do, I recommend this book. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I have. And if you can find it, because it's actually really hard to find now. So check it out. And now, without further ado, I want to introduce you to my girl, Tia, who is very, very knowledgeable about hair. Her business is called Her Hair RX. Right? And yep. She creates amazing, amazing pieces for women. And what I mean by pieces is I mean, obviously, hair pieces. And it doesn't matter what race, color, creed, nationality you are. If you have any type of illness that affects your hair, such as cancer, that's most commonly known, or you are just a woman who likes to change up your look like me, okay, this could be something that you will definitely want to pay attention to. And you know what else? She was talking to me before we started about the big chop, right? And I want her to explain to you what this meant for women during slavery. And this is something also that we don't also get taught in schools and we don't know a lot about. And I think every woman should be aware of this because it kind of reminds me of what happens to us in boot camp. So I'm going to let Tia explain it to you and then we'll go from there.
Hi there, everybody. Hi, all my veteran beauties and non-veteran beauties. My name is Tia. I am with Her Hair RX. I am the creator and founder of the company. I'll give you a little background about me, and then I'll talk a little bit about the big chop. So I started my company from my aunt, who is a female veteran, and we're close like sisters. We're only 3 years apart. And when she went away and got deployed, I had to take care of her kids. She has 4 kids. So I kind of took the role of co-mom, if you will. And it was challenging to see her go through that. But what was more challenging than just her going away and me having to take care of the kids is her need for hair. She suffered from alopecia totalis, meaning that she had no hair anywhere. So no eyebrows, no lashes, no underarm hair, just nowhere. And I've seen her struggle with that since she was the age of 9. And I was the age of maybe 6 and 7. And I just grew up seeing her go through that through high school and being bullied and being picked on and then dating when she got older and then going away to college. And then when she went to the military, forget about it. She just didn't have any help or services for her hair care out in Iraq. So I used to do her wigs. I used to make her wigs for her and send them to her, and also pictures of the kids and care packages and things like that. So that's what really desired my love to do what I do. So I do it from a place of love, and I really concentrate on female veterans because I know how hard it is for your community to get the quality that you deserve. So it's not just about a wig. It's actually about the quality of wig. So when I started doing some research on Juneteenth, I actually started really digging into some of all the other things that I've learned about our history. And what I found out is that the Big Chop, which I kind of heard of, right, because it's kind of well known now. I think we relatively changed the name of it or the term behind it, but it actually started way back in slavery. And the term the Big Chop was when the slave master would take the female slaves, line them up, and literally shave their hair off. And it was to really dehumanize them in some degree, and to really make women of the slave women feel less beautiful than their wives, their white wives. So it was a really traumatizing thing for women to go through. I mean, no woman, you know, whether you lose your hair or whether you have to shave your hair off, it's kind of like your crown. It's, you know, it's looked upon society as your beauty. The longer your hair is, the blonder your hair is, the more beautiful you are. All these different things that we're taught society-wise. But yeah, that was done to us back in our day. And kind of as we got more into culture, of course, now we make it a thing where we're cleansing ourselves and we're getting rid of bad energy, and there's different rituals about cutting your hair off, and that's all well and good, but it actually was started way back then. So I just thought I would mention that as a Juneteenth kind of history moment for all of us ladies out there. And it's an amazing story, actually. I was really profound by that, and it touched me even more to do what I do.
It is. I can imagine that there would be a need to sort of dehumanize further and to sort of de-beautify these African women that were brought over here to be enslaved so that there would not be as much temptation amongst the owners, right? Of course there was anyway, mm-hmm. We all know that. but you know, I can see how that would have played into that. And hair is an important part of how every woman feels about themselves and about their beauty. And so this is why I love what you do, because, you know, like your aunt, you know, my best friend suffers, you know, and with alopecia, and I know that struggle. I know how that feels when you don't feel beautiful because of your hair, right? And you feel like there's nothing that you can do about it, you know? So it is really a big struggle for women with cancer and other sorts of illnesses that affect their hair. And I know that a lot of female veterans suffer as well, which is why it's amazing that you do this work for female veterans and why I wanted to bring you on and share your message with everybody. So tell me, you said that you noticed that your aunt was going through similar things like that. What did you see her experience that really touched you and led you to want to create something like this for her?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, you know, we were more like sisters than aunt and niece. We were only 3 years apart. So we were kind of really close in age. So as I'm going through puberty, you know, she was going through puberty as well. And I would notice that, you know, I would be getting hair everywhere, and I would, you know, she would not be getting hair everywhere. And that was, you know, kind of like embarrassing to her. I also had a head full of hair. And when we would go places, it was more like, well, Tia's hair is so long and Tia's hair is so pretty. And, you know, that type of thing. And it would be like, well, Tamika, what's that? You know, she has like something sitting on her head that looks like a baseball cap. And, you know, back then you really couldn't get hair of our texture. And even now it's hard to get our textured hair. So her hair always looked like it's, you know, it always stood out. It always was a sore thumb. She couldn't really wear a lot of hairstyles like ponytails like me. She couldn't really, you know, wear the up and coming cool, you know, hairstyles like the salt and pepper and the, you know, the cool haircuts that we used to have growing up. And, you know, it was just, you know, self-conscious for her. So I always, you know, just, you know, always seen her struggle with trying to fit in and trying to look normal, if you will. It just got worse and worse over time because as she got older, then it became an issue with going to the pools or going to the beaches or going on vacations. Like when we used to do our girls trips to Jamaica and DR, and, you know, she was always self-conscious of how, you know, she needed to wear a scarf or she needed to wear some type of bonnet or some type of something just to hang out with us. So it was a lot of, you know, just going through that on a constant basis. And I would also say a little bit about my story too. Even though I do have a head full of hair, I do choose to wear wigs because it's easier. And I also kind of experienced my own hair issues in corporate America, because as you know, there's like a certain look and a certain prototype that we have to fit into. And I worked for big hair companies. I worked for Hair Club for Men and Women. And I also worked for Alterna Hair Care, and both of them were Caucasian kind of hair companies. So when I was going into work as a high-end executive there, I would have to go in with a bob or something really subtle. I couldn't really wear, I mean, I even had to do longer hair just to kind of really, you know, fit in with some of the Caucasian other sales reps. So for me, it was easier for me to wear a wig because it was one, less time consuming, and two, it kind of looked like their hair, if I would, you know, say it back then. And so I kind of understand both sides of it, having no hair and needing a wig and having to wear hair just to fit into a corporate mold. I know when I was working in my salons back in the day too, I had to work with a lot of women that were broadcasters that were in corporate America that just really could not wear their natural hair or even hair that resembled natural hair because it wasn't considered appropriate, like braids or dreadlocks or, you know, any type of Afro puff or any type of Afro looking styles. So yeah, just having that whole experience tied into everything that I do, but especially for women that suffer from hair loss is where my love and passion come from.
So tell me, how did you get started?
Yeah. So I got started just making wigs for my aunt, really. I mean, that's really where I really, you know, just kind of started out. I just started playing around with hair, trying to make her the best hair piece, always fixing her hair to look good, whether I was trying to flat iron it, curl it, straighten it, do whatever I had to do to make that wig look better. I did it, whatever it took. And then I got, you know, more experience learning through the company that I worked for, Hair Club for Men and Women. They were a big hair wig company, basically. I don't know if anyone's heard of them.
Oh, I've heard of them for sure.
Yeah. They do like the toupees and the stuff like that, but then they also brought in women. So back in the day when I was working there, it was, I'm not only the client, but I'm also the president. And that was kind of like their slogan, which was well known. And it was really a male driven company at that point. We only serviced men. And then later on, they started servicing women. And this is when I was really departing from them. And this is when I kind of branched off to do my own thing. I was a top sales rep for them. I had one of the biggest locations. I worked in the Fort Lee and in the Manhattan location in New York and in Upper New Jersey. And when we started servicing women, what really pained me the most is that they would have me cut or shave the woman's hair off in order to glue the toupee onto their head. So women would come in suffering from hair loss and needed needed a wig or needed a hair piece. And we just started selling to women. But what the company did not do in the beginning is they did not do the research on how to actually apply a wig to a woman's hair that had hair. You don't have to shave their hair off, but because they were so used to dealing with men, they would shave the men's hair off, which would be fine because he would have like maybe one little patch of hair and be bald. So they would need to shave that off to, you know, give him a proper toupee. But for women, we didn't need those extremities, as I would call it today. So they would shave the woman's hair off and then smack this wig on their head. And some of them looked okay, I would say. And then some of them didn't look okay because they also weren't used to styling a woman's wig. They were used to styling men's toupee. So all of the, you know, clinicians and beauticians that worked there weren't that skilled at doing women. So I was in a rock and a hard place because I was there to sell. I was a top sales consultant for them. And my job was to do consultations all day and really sell the hair pieces to the clients. I felt challenged with it. I felt like I did not want to do this anymore. I did not want to service, you know, women getting their hair shaved off just to get a wig glued to their face. And I felt like I could do better on my own. And I did. I, you know, slowly started learning how to make my own wigs, develop my own wigs, outsource hair for my wigs. And it took me about 6 years to get it together, but I did it. And within good time, I started my company. I opened up a salon is where I, you know, started first in 2014. I closed it in 2018 and just went online. And then I signed up with Veterans Administration. And that's when I really blossomed and opened up my company to female veterans.
And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing what you do for female veterans, considering your aunt, who is like your sister, is also a veteran. Right.
Yeah,
and I remember we talked before, and one of the stories that I loved was about how you would send her hair to wherever she was so that she would never have to be without. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. True story.
Yeah, that's amazing. So tell me now, what were the greatest takeaways from working for such a big hair organization that you were able to apply and improve upon, maybe even to do this, what you do for female veterans?
I guess the biggest takeaway for me would be technique. You know, I learned exactly how to do things with wigs. I became, you know, very efficient in it. And I had good suppliers. So I really get good hair because of contacts. Let's just say that.
Good. It's good to know, because everybody out here listening, they may have, maybe it's not them themselves, but maybe it's someone they know, or maybe, I mean, you can absolutely love your hair. I'm just going to bust this myth. You can absolutely love your hair and still have wigs or hair pieces. And I actually hesitate to call what you create, your creations, a wig, because I know that they're so much more than that, right? They're like a beautiful piece, like a creation, like an artwork. Like, for example, if everyone knows about a couture gown, right? Like a handmade, beautiful gown made by a high-end luxury designer. Well, what Tia does is the equivalent of that, but for hair. So if you're listening right now and you just want to know what you look with blonde hair or dark hair, you could have one of these just for fun. Right? Or Absolutely. We all know that the Kardashians, for example, rock wigs on the regular, right? But they wear luxury hair, like the kind that you create. What's beautiful about this is that you create these luxury pieces, these full units, this hair for female veterans, and we are able to get a prescription for them from our doctor with a prescription for human hair, which a lot of female veterans probably don't even know. I didn't know. You can actually get luxury, top-notch, couture, if you will, hair from Tia for no cost to yourself, right? So if you're suffering or, you know, going through something like alopecia or going through cancer or whatever illness is affecting your hair, you can go and speak to your doctor at your VA and you can ask them for a prescription for human hair for a piece and request Tia, and you will be able to get to work with her to get a custom fitted piece for yourself. And I think that's really amazing, because we all know how important hair is and how it makes you feel when you look in the mirror and you love what you see. So if you're suffering, this can be a really good solution for you. And it's free, which is one of the reasons why I just had to have Tia on and talk about this. So Tia, what do you see in a lot of your clients? Why is it that they come to you and they keep coming back to you?
Yeah, typically what I see is that they're at their wit's end. They don't really know what to do as far as where to go to get, you know, a good hair piece. How's the wig going to look on them? What kind of hair to even purchase? Like, they don't even know what their hair type is. A lot of them are just pretty much don't know what to do. They're like at ground zero. So what I feel like is when I talk to a woman that is suffering or is going through some type of hair loss, my main question at the beginning of the consultation is, do they wear hair? Have they ever wore hair? So I know exactly where to go. So I have all the way up from beginners to people that do wear hair quite often. So just depending on where you are in your hair journey and what your hair story is, you know, where I start you at. But I feel like most people come back and forth to me because of A, the quality of product. Like you said, it's a couture gown. So my wigs are also designed, they're based on a one-on-one basis. So I deal with my clients on a one-on-one basis. It's personalized 100%. So I make sure that everything I'm covering from the complexion of your scalp to the quality of the hair, it's from the grade of the hair, from the texture of the hair, and to your hair measurements and head size, so that this piece will fit you as good as it possibly can if you're not close enough for me to do everything, you know, one-on-one. I can do things virtually. So I believe that people come to me for the experience along with the quality.
So take us through the experience from beginning to end. So if I was to reach out to you, what would happen? What would happen next?
Yeah. So most likely, the first thing that we would do is have a consultation, which would be a conversation. I want to know what's going on. So I may dip and dab into a little bit of the medical history. If it's a medical reason why you're losing your hair, if it's something like stress, or if it's like postpartum, or if it's anything like maybe even wearing, I know a lot of female veterans tell me from wearing the caps, their edges are gone and the rubbing out from the edges. Mm-hmm. So depending on whatever the situation is, I'll start there. So it's kind of like a questionnaire to really get to know you and what's going on with you. Second thing would probably be getting a little bit more personal as to, you know, why now wear a wig, or, you know, anything that I should know that's important to you about the wig. So really getting into know that person, because I know look and style and how they used to wear their hair, or what they're really looking for, like your friend, your best friend, Melanie. She wanted to wear a bang. And I was like, okay, let's do it. You know, so that was fun to do a wig with a bang. So I haven't done a wig bang in a while. She actually inspired me to do my little hair. So I was kind of fun over the bang things. I was like, dang, bang, I haven't done a bang in so long. But yeah, so really getting to know that person and what they're really wanting to do personally. So after the medical history is done and I get the medical facts of what's really happening underneath, then I talk more about the personal aspect of it, from color, from texture, to hairstyle, to how you used to wear your hair, just so I can get a vibe for you. And then secondly, I'll send over a bunch of paperwork that needs to be filled out. And we'll talk a little bit about the veteran process so that you understand how to go about getting your prescription so that the wig is 100% covered through the VA. And then once we cover all the, you know, all the paperwork and stuff, now it's really about me sending you a kit, which I love to do. I send you samples of the hair that I sell, that I'm going to make the wig out of. So you'll probably get about 4 or 5 different textures that you can choose from based on our conversation. So I'll give you plenty of options where you can go from kinky, which is like a very Afro texture, or you can go from coily, which is more of like a coily curl. And you can go from curly, which is more of a loose, kind of like a loose curl, kind of like a Spanish wave, if you would, or a water wave look. And then of course, there's my favorite one is the kinky straight, which Melanie actually got, which I was surprised that she chose that texture, which was fun to do. And then I also do like the body wave, which is, you know, very popular as well. Mm-hmm. So those are, you know, pretty much what I would send out on a, you know, on a kit. So with the kit, I send my hair products, as well as I also specialize in a hair shampoo, a hair conditioner, a hair treatment oil, and a hair temple balm, which is good for like a protective and to help you grow back your edges if you are losing edges there. So I send an entire kit so that you can look through everything, really get a feel of who I am and what I do in my business, and just have some really good goodies to kind of like get us started on this journey. Because it is a journey. I'm developing something for you. So it takes some time. So then once I do all that and you receive your products, then we circle back again. And this time I'm following up to see if you've gotten your prescription and if you had any issues with the VA, so I can help you fight through that. Because I know sometimes going to your doctor and back and forth with them can be an hassle. And I'm really good with talking to the VA. I'm really good with making sure you guys get whatever you need. So sometimes I may have to call the VA for you, or I may have to intervene, and I may have to step in and be like, well, wait a minute. No, she's entitled to a human hair, because sometimes they want to give you synthetic wigs, and that's a no-go. No one's doing that. So you deserve human hair for sure. Good hair. Must be good hair. So I really fight for that. So just to make sure. So the last step, I'll follow back up, make sure we got everything, make sure the prescriptions are in, make sure I have your doctor's information, you know, the VA hospital that you attend's information so I can reach out to them. And then once everything is finalized and I know everything is good to go on your end, then it's all about me. So I take my time at that point. We'll probably go back and forth with some pictures and some styles and some ideas of what you like. And then once you tell me this is exactly what I want, that's what I like, or here's what I want, this is exactly what I want, then I go ahead and make it. And again, I already have your paperwork because you already filled out your wig form and all that good stuff. So I know your measurements and I know the complexion of your scalp, because I also do something that's really unique to the wigs as well, is that I add a polymer. It's like a polymer base on the lace of the wig that will resemble your exact texture of your, the exact color, complexion of your scalp. So everyone pretty much has a different, you know, skin complexion. That's why there's thousands of foundation makeups out there. And what you see on YouTube today is what, you know, the girls are doing with like the baldless method, is that they're taking a wig cap, putting it on their head while gluing it down with some type of gotta be or something. And then what they'll do is they'll use a concealer or their foundation to kind of blend in the wig cap with their foundation, which I guess does the trick. Sometimes your wigs can look seamless that way. And I get that. But however, that's a lot of work sometimes. And then of course the makeup fades off. And then I also feel like the polymer protects the lace. So your wig is going to last you probably 2 years or 3 years if we take good care of it. Because A, the hair is great hair, a good hair. And secondly, that polymer that I put on there, which is made of your complexion from your foundation color, that is going to protect that lace. So you're not going to really have to tweeze the lace, bleach the lace, put some type of makeup on the lace. It's already kind of embedded in there, which is awesome. And I love to, you can part it in any way you like. So if you wear a left part, a right part, a middle part, do your thing. If you want the part to be a little bit more defined, you can tweeze that part by all means just to get a more definition, but you don't necessarily have to. Once you part it, it's going to look like scalp. And that's exactly what I do to really give you that finished customized product.
Wow, that's amazing. So what is the typical turnaround time for this?
Sure thing. So let's just say we do everything, you know, I guess because I'm doing piece by piece and it's individual, sometimes I could get a little backed up with, you know, having too many clients to service because I'm just doing it myself. It's a personalized service. So I would say anywhere between 30 and 60 days, I should have your wig out. I will try my hardest to work within the 30-day mark though, for sure.
Amazing. I don't think that's too long to wait for a custom couture piece.
Absolutely. Sure.
With all the back and forth that you have to do and to make sure everything's right and ideal for your client, I think 60 days is pretty reasonable personally. And 30 days is amazing because I know it's exciting to get this new beauty in. And I mean, we see them on everyone. We see them on Beyonce. We see them on everybody. And it doesn't matter, like I said, what your color, race, creed, whatever is, women are wearing these. And even just for fun, just to change up their look. And I know that I like to rock them too. So what happened to me, I'm going to share my story, was what happened to me was, you mentioned postpartum. So when I was postpartum with my second baby, pretty much all my hair fell out. I've always liked to play with wigs and just have them in my repertoire anyway, just because I like to look different and I like to change up my look, maybe for a special event, maybe something special for my man, you know, whatever the case may be, right? So, but when this happened, it was absolutely devastating. I can remember standing in the shower and clumps of my hair was coming out. I just went to wash my hair and just clump after clump. And I have really thick, thick hair. Kind of like a lion's mane, really. And so it was coming out by the fistful and I was just sobbing, legitimate, true story, standing in the shower, sobbing my eyes out, watching my hair fall out in my hands 3 weeks after my baby was born. It was just devastating. So then I actually needed the wigs. I don't need them so much anymore, but I still enjoy them and play with them and have them in my repertoire of my beauty tricks. So that's my personal story I thought that I would share with everyone. And I understand that a lot of people, there's a lot of myths around you know, wigs. So I think I busted one up earlier. I think we should bust up any that you know about, and then we'll play a little game I like to call, can I wear it here? And then we'll see. We'll help everybody realize how versatile these are and how you can wear them pretty much anywhere.
Sure.
So let's do that. What are some of the myths that you have been aware of about wearing wigs from women?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest misconception, I guess, of wigs is that you have to glue them down. Some people are so, you know, after they think that, you know, oh my God, it's going to fall off, or I'm just not going to be able to keep it on. And there are glueless ways of doing so where you don't have to, you know, use glue. And glue can be, if you know how to use glue and you're professional, I say, great, go for it. But if you're not that, you know, if you're amateur and wearing wigs, you don't have to wear glue. You can literally use a band that would, you know, secure the wig nice and tight down to the head so that it does not shift and it does not move and you don't feel like, oh my God, this is going to fall off. So I think there's the biggest myth that you just have to glue them down, and you don't. You really don't.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you think that maybe would cause women any trepidation from wearing a wig?
Looking like a wig, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like the
looking fake.
Yeah, looking super fake or bulky or wiggy. Wiggy is kind of like my number one word. I mean, everyone says, oh my God, I want the wig to look wiggy. I don't want it to be thick. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to look like, you know, it doesn't look like me. So yeah, another myth of it is that no, wigs do not have to be super thick. I do believe in different densities as well. So that's another thing that we'll cover because some women do like a lot of hair and some women don't.
And I like a lot of hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh?
I like a lot of hair.
Yeah.
I like diva hair.
Yeah. I'm like the opposite. I don't like my wigs, you know, a lot of hair because I get hot easily. That's just me. So I do kind of go with more of the 120 density, sometimes a little bit 100 in the front, and then maybe a little thicker in the back area where I can just put it back in like a full bun or ponytail or something. But definitely more to the face front. I like my hair a little thinner, but everyone's different. So there's different densities to wigs that makes them a little bit more natural, a little bit less fuller, a little bit more thicker. So definitely hair placement's also a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of hair placement, once I have my piece, how do I put it on?
Sure. So there's different ways. First of all, let's talk about different caps because there's wig caps. Mm-hmm. So if you have hair and you are going to like maybe braid your hair down, which is pretty much the typical, if you're going to pull it all the way back in a ponytail and kind of do like a low bun in the back, which is also easy to do for women that are different races, that's probably that would be the easiest way for them to apply their wigs. You would just use a wig cap. And then there's about three or four different kinds. There's the nylon kind, which is the stocking cap, which is the most common. It does come in all different shades. So that would, you know, be okay to do that as well. And then there is the fishnet, which is really common as well, so that your hair is breathable. It just really depends on a preference. And then for other people, they can do a simple braid down and in don't really need to wear a wig cap, just depending on if that's your preference. I don't wear a wig cap and I'm pretty good and safe and secure to go. You can do a wig gripper, which will protect your edges around the front to the back just to kind of put the wig on. And that also will secure the wig as well with the band. So those are like the four best methods to apply the wig is to use a wig cap. And if you are totally, hairless or have really thinning hair, the wig cap would be suffice as well. But with my wigs, with the polymer, you actually do not need to wear a wig cap with it.
Amazing. Okay. So we cover wig cap. So if you can do French braids, you could do two French braids down the side and pin them up so that your hair is flat because you want your hair as flat to your head as possible because you want this to look like your hair. Right.
Absolutely.
Like you said, braids or a low bun, which is what I often do when I'm feeling really lazy and I just want to change up my look. So really low at the base of your neck. You could do that with your wig cap, but with yours, you don't need a wig cap, which is amazing because you want your hair to be able to breathe. And those stocking caps can be very bad for your hair. So you don't want it on all the time, which brings me to my next question. If I want to glue it down, right, and I want it, and I just want that extra layer of security, how do I do that?
Sure. So there's all different types of using glue. The most common would be kind of what you see on YouTube all day, every day, which is kind of like do it yourself with the Gotta Be spray. That's pretty easy. You know, you would just go out. Gotta Be is a really popular product, especially for securing wigs. And you can actually spray the base of your forehead with the stocking cap on and kind of let it cool dry with a blow dryer and apply the wig down. And that should secure it for maybe a day or two. It just depends on how you sweat with that method. And then, of course, there's stronger adhesives, which is like maybe like a ghost bond or a clear bond or anything like that, where you would use a brush applicator to kind of brush your hairline with the glue, let that cool until it shades, until it comes like a taffy. So it becomes like a clear taffy. And then you would stick the wig down that way. And then the easiest way, I would say, for any beginner, where I started, how I started going down my wigs, is I used wig tape, which I think is a lot safer in a sense that, you know, you just place the tape. It's like a two-sided tape. You would just place the tape around your base of your hairline and then remove the other side of the tape and then literally just stick the wig down on that, you know, on that hairline area. And that would be one of the, you know, great ways for beginners to start playing with adhesives. I'm not really big on the adhesives, not unless, again, like I said, you're a professional and you've been using them, because adhesives can be harsh to the hairline and you don't want to rip, you know, or damage your hairline by using glue. But if you had to use it, I would start with either the tape, go to the Gotta Be, and then eventually go into the more of the harder bonds, if that's what you choose to do. But again, you don't have to wear anything at all with the wig, just a basic band, and that will secure that baby down and it will look just like it's growing out of your scalp, especially with the complexion polymer that I use.
So, okay, how long should I keep my wig on?
Good question. It's a preference. Me personally, I don't glue down my wigs. So for me, I do take them off at night. I rarely do sleep in my wigs, but, you know, sometimes I do fall asleep. But, you know, either way, if I take my wig off at night, I do put it on my mannequin head. It's kind of like my girlfriend. Here you go, put it there. And I tie my hair down. I do use my scalp. I take do a little self-care if I'm like washing my face at night, washing my makeup off. My hair is a regimen as well. So I don't glue mine down at all. So if you're gluing down your wigs, I would say I personally would think to not keep the wig on no more than at least 6 to 7 days. Give your hair a break, do a wash hair day at the end of the week, take the, you know, the wig off, wash your wig if it has any like styling products on it, because you want to keep it fresh and clean. And I would also wash my own hair as well. And at that point, reapply the wig. So I would say give yourself a break in between just to kind of have your hair self-care a day. If you need to wear a wig 24/7, because again, you don't have hair, then I would definitely still be able to take the wig off and massage my scalp and use some hair products to make sure that my scalp is healthy. You don't want to wear a wig for more than a week and a half at a time without treating your own scalp and hair, because you don't want to gain fungus or anything underneath that. So you still want to be able to take care of what's going on underneath. The wig is not really used as like a band-aid, you know, it's really used as, we don't ever want to use it as a cover-up. We want to use it as an addition to our life. So it's a beauty, part of our beauty regimen every day.
Mm-hmm. An accessory. So if I am, you know, suffering from alopecia and I wear my wig for 7 days, how long should I, and I sleep in it, of course, and everything. My first question is, how long should I let my scalp rest before I reapply or start wearing?
That's a good question. I mean, typically, if you're going to be wearing the wig every day, like it's your hair, because again, you have alopecia, meaning you don't have any hair, I would give your scalp just a good treatment. So I would use, you know, any type of good cleansing product on the scalp, definitely some type of moisturizing oil for your scalp, and just maybe hang out for like a couple of hours or so, do your regimen for your hair, and then you can put the wig back on again. It's just a matter of treating the scalp before just, you know, leaving it on and not doing anything at all to it. It's almost like wearing acrylic nails for so long and never getting them soaked off. So even though we wear them every single day of our lives, right, we just keep going to get refills, but eventually you'll notice that your nails need to be treated underneath, and it's good to soak them off and then get a new set put on. Same concept with the wig.
Oh, that's a really good analogy. So speaking of sleeping in your wig, how do we sleep in our wig to preserve its beauty?
Sure. So that really depends on the texture of the hair, to be honest with you. I've gotten this question quite a lot. because if you were to wear something like a kinky texture, I would tell my clients to definitely twist their hair like they would normally twist their hair if they had afro hair, just to kind of keep that texture alive. You don't want it to get brittle, matted, you know, you don't want it to like get too matted where it's hard to manage. So the kinkier hair, you definitely want to like maybe twist it. Curly hair, you want to still maybe put like braids in it and maybe tie it up really cute and like Bantu knots or something like that, so that your hair is still keeping its form and fashion. For curly girl hair, you pretty much want to make sure it's moisturized a little bit at night. So putting a little product on it and maybe doing two ponytails or two braids or something to that fact. If you're wearing a kinky straight texture hair, I typically tell clients to kind of wrap it, you know, like you would wrap your own hair, like maybe use, you know, bobby pins or something to kind of tie it down. You really just want to take care of the wig like it's your own, because again, you're dealing with human hair. So it's going to react the same way our hair reacts. So if you're sleeping on your own natural hair, typically your hair is going to be matted or get tangled or break off even. For the longevity of the hair and the wig, you want to take care of it just as you would with your natural hair. So tying it down at night, wearing some type of a bonnet, and I do have bonnets that I designed that say Her Hair RX on them, and I normally send them in your kit as well. I also have a hair tie that you can put around your hairline just to kind of keep your hair laying down, especially if you're gluing it. So I do provide those two little things as well to help you take care of your wig as well. So still wearing a scarf and tying your hair down at night.
Beautiful. Sure. Okay, so let's play our little game.
Okay.
Because we're coming to close to the end of the show, and I want to make sure everyone knows where they can wear this. So can I wear this in the swimming pool?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you're going to go swimming, if you're going, you know, just have a great time at the beach or at the pool, you know, I'm not really an in the water type of girl. I don't swim. But if you are a swimmer, I definitely would recommend doing the same thing that you would do if you were going to be swimming, you know, naturally. You're going to wear a swim cap. Most girls of color do, especially. We don't really just freely get our hair wet like that without, you know, securing it with a swim cap. So I would definitely recommend doing the same thing with your wig. I would also say to you, if you're just a girl that's just going to be splashing around, you know, swimming up to the bar, the pool, or things that's of that me. Nature. And you, that's me. You know, that's me. I'm not doing all of that crazy stuff. But if I'm just her, I would, you know, really get, you know, put a beautiful scarf on. I love to wear beautiful, you know, beautiful bonnets, different like caps and things for my hair as an accessory. So you can do that as well, which is really sexy. You can wear like a bandana or some type of a headband to kind of like just bring it in. And definitely you can still wear your hair in the poolside or at the beach. Absolutely.
I like to braid mine up. Put it in some braids.
The easiest. Yeah. I love a nice braid. I love a braid.
Whether I'm wearing a wig or not, actually.
Yeah, right here.
So tell me, so if we can wear it in the water, I could swim with it if I wear a swim cap, and it'll hold even if I don't have glue. Or do you recommend wearing glue if I'm going, or some sort of bond if I'm going to go in the water?
Yeah, if you're a truly active person and you're going to be doing more than the average person, like if you know you're going to be swimming with dolphins or doing something extreme like scuba diving or something like that, then why not secure the wig with a little bond? If you're going on a really, you know, elaborate vacation to Aruba or Jamaica, maybe that is the week that you would use bond. I would prefer, you know, I would say if you're not a bond user on a day-to-day basis, take your unit to the salon and have them apply it for you. Mm-hmm. This way you are doing it professionally. But yeah, if you're going to be doing some extreme water sports or any type of extreme activities anyway with your wig, I would say definitely glue it down just for that one, you know, moment, for sure. Just for the extra support. Yeah.
Since we're talking about water, what about the shower?
Oh yeah, that's easy. Shower's typical. You know, I shower in my wigs all the time. I use a shower cap like I would normally do. That's easiest for me. But if you don't have a shower cap, or you just don't have time to get one or to use one or find one or whatever the case may be, you can always just put your hair up in a tight bun, a high bun, a low bun, and just kind of bobby pin it down so that it really doesn't get that wet. You don't want to mess up the style if you're planning to go somewhere afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And what about, so we talked about swimming, but also I imagine the same thing applies for any other athletics like hiking or doing some sort of sports.
Yeah. Again, if you're just an athletic, I mean, if you're a super athletic person, you can still wear your wig. You can still do everything you would normally do. You can run with your wig. You can exercise with your wig. You can hike. You can go on these, you know, you could do anything activity wise. Just depending if it's really going to, like, if you're going to be doing a boot camp activity where you're going to be doing a little bit more than just the average workout, then I would recommend maybe for that one event that you do secure your wig down with some glue if you need to. But if you're just doing your average, you know, cardio and your average walk with dogs and your average run in the park for your 30 minutes of, you know, cardio or anything like that, you should be fine with the wig just in a baseball cap if you like. I know I do that all the time for me, or you can just simply, you know, just go as is with a visor to protect yourself from the sun anyway. You would just treat this wig exactly like you would treat your own. So whatever you would do to your hair normally, tie it back in a ponytail, wear braids, wear a baseball cap, wear a visor, wear anything like that, you know, a bandana or something to wrap it up with a cute tie, or however you're going to do it, because you're going to be moving around and you don't want all your hair in your face and that type of thing, is the same way you would do the wig.
Excellent. Okay. So what about on a date, a fun date? So let's say you're going to have a romantic evening. How do you manage with your wig then?
Sure. That's a fun one, because obviously I don't know everyone's, you know, idea of super fun date. I know for me, when I was dating my man, you know, obviously it would be like, you know, it was kind of like a don't touch my hair, you know, conversation, you know, don't do that, or I just got my hair done or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. But for the most part, you know, it's okay for them to, you know, play with you and, you know, circle your hair, touch your hair. As far as you worrying about your hair falling off that night, or, you know, coming off or anything like that, I would say to every woman to really just to either tie their hair down to some point where it's not going to be that much in the way, where it's not going to be a pulling situation. So I would do a cute little tight ponytail or a cute bun. Other than that, I would say you can, you know, just tie your hair up so that you just, you know, are like naturally tying your hair up if you are concerned with that issue. But if you just want to have fun in the beginning and, you know, you guys are in the moment and you're doing whatever you got to do, I would just put my hair up in a cute ponytail and let it be known that, you know, that's the look for tonight. It's sexy, it's fun, and it's playful. And I don't think I've had an experience yet where my wig has came off. The bands are really tight for me. I make sure that I do have a good band on mine, so my wig is pretty secure. I can pull at it, snug at it. I'm doing it now with you, Kia. It's not coming off. So you can
see it pretty secure. Even if you pull the hair,
you can't get it off. Not unless he's doing some other stuff.
So gentle tugs, no full on pulling. Gentle tugs are fine.
Yep. So if you got whips and stuff going on, then I don't know what to tell you.
Like if you're into some 50 Shades of Grey type of stuff, you might want to glue it down. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Consider that a high energy extreme sport. And if that's you on a date or with your man, then I think maybe gluing it down is probably the best.
Yeah, that's going to be equivalent to swimming with the dolphins, right?
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Gotcha.
Okay, great. So now that we've talked about a bunch of activities we can do in our piece, how do we care for it?
Sure. But it goes really back to treating it like human hair. So you really want to take good care of the hair. I would recommend not to use any store-bought products like Pantene or Shea Moisture or anything that you can buy at like Target and Walmart at CVS or anything like that. I believe in using a high-quality professional salon product only on my wigs, only because they do, sometimes those products have a lot more water-based in them and they can strip the hair quality. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely recommend either going to a beauty salon and using a high-end beauty product that they would use at the salon, and use good shampoo and conditioner and hair products on your wigs. I would also recommend not using a lot of oils on the wigs, only because the oil will also strip the wig. So if you can use more of like a co-wash to, you know, to wash the wig would be perfect, which is like a conditioner wash product, or you can use a light oil, which is more of like a spritz oil. So anything that you have to use in droppers or pour out, I wouldn't gulp the wig with that product. I would use more of a spray oil just to kind of give it some moisture. Other than that, I would wash the wig due to how much product I use in my wigs. So I like to wash my wigs once a month. That's just me. I don't like to overly wash them. And I don't also use heat on my wigs a lot. So I let them air dry. I don't do a lot of blow drying. I believe that will pull some of the hair out from the unit. So I do let my wigs air dry for the most part. And then I would just simply use a flat iron or even a straightening comb to get my wigs straight. And if I'm wearing any type of curly hair, I just let it air dry and then use regular products to get it back to normal, which is like a mousse or anything. So you would just treat the wig just like your own and not to use anything harsh on the wig as far as products are concerned. Stay away from sulfate sprays.
You mentioned, you know, styling the hair, right? So I'm curious about if using like heated rollers or a curling iron, if we can, if it's human hair, we should be able to do that, right? So would you recommend doing that?
Absolutely. So you can use curling irons, you can use flat irons. I even use hot combs straight from the stove on my units, depending on how straight I want to get them. You can use spiral curlers. You can use rollers that don't require any heat at all. The number one way to really get a simple curl out of your wig without using heat at all is one of those foam rollers. That's really popular. So if you just put a bunch of foam rollers in your wig at night and then in the morning, just take it out, you'll have an awesome curl. So you could do that as well. But you can treat the hair and pretty much do anything you want. You can curl it, dye it, style it, fry it. I like to say, I always bone straight sometimes. But you can do anything to the hair because it's human hair. So you're able to do about anything to it and let it bounce back to its normal state again, as long as you take care of it with good products.
Amazing. So this has all been such amazing information. Thank you so much for sharing it, Tia. I think that what you're doing is incredible. It is life-changing for women. And I know that you make beautiful products. And speaking of beautiful products, I know that you sent me a gift. And I am going to open it right now, even though most people will have to just listen to me opening it. Everyone will listen to me opening it. But I'll do my best to explain what I'm seeing as I'm unboxing this beauty. So this is my first unboxing on the Female Veterans Podcast. Okay, so I'm opening the box and it's full of really cool stuff. Okay, hold on. So first of all, there's this little sort of container. It's really cute. It's black and white, and it has lots of really cute words on it. And it says, "Her Hair RX. Beautiful texture, coils, edges, kinky, moisture, happy, soulful. Don't touch my hair. I love that. Work in progress." This is amazing. So let me see what's in this little package. Oh my gosh. So I have her conditioner with peppermint oil and pro vitamin B5 for scalp and wigs. And this is amazing. It's a very beautiful black, white, and gold bottle, super elegant looking. And I have some more products in here. She's so cool. Shampoo, her shampoo, same thing. Amazing, amazing, and beautiful for me to use to shampoo this beauty. And it has peppermint and tea tree oil. That's incredible. It smells so good. I can already smell how amazing they smell, you guys.
Thank you.
So good. Tia, wow. I'm so impressed. This is pretty. It's pretty too. Her treatment oil with peppermint, almond, and soy oils. That's incredible. It smells good too. I can just smell peppermint. I love the smell of peppermint.
Me too.
I love the way it feels on my skin. When I was little, my mom used to use peppermint soap on me.
Me too. Me too.
For my sensitive skin. I have a bobby pin in here. And I have some temple balm with, again, peppermint oil and vitamins A, C, and E. Amazing. Oh, let me see the texture of this.
Yeah, that's a really awesome temple balm. It took me forever to come up with something. Everyone wanted me to do an edge control, and I totally went against that. And I did more of a protective, which is going to grow back the edges and really kind of, give your hair back that protection that we need from wearing wigs all day. So I chose the right product for me.
I think it smells really good. The consistency is really creamy. It has like a, you can feel the oil in it. So you can feel how moisturizing it will be for your edges and protective. It smells amazing. I can't wait to use that. I'm going to use that today. I'm going to use all of this stuff today. So what else do I have in here? Oh, look at this beauty. Oh my God.
Okay. Wow, she's a little weather from traveling.
Oh yeah, you can tell she's been across the miles, but I mean, because she went clear across the country.
She did.
So you may not know that once you have a couture hairpiece, okay, you give her a name and you treat her like a girlfriend. Okay. So when we're saying her, she has her own pronouns. Okay. And she looks amazing. Here with her, I have my little edge band to get my edges down. Her scalp looks incredible and amazing. A beautiful part. She's wavy. It looks like I'll be shifting up my look soon to wear black hair. Which I do like to change up my look. She's got lots of pin curls in because she's curly. And the hair just feels so amazing and just incredibly silky and fine, but also full and full of body. She's so pretty. Thank you, Tia.
You're welcome.
She's so, so pretty. I'm going to have fun. You guys know I do photo shoots. And if you don't, I do photo shoots from time to time, right? So this is why I like to have wigs. And I put them on my personal Instagram page at Kiativity. And that's on Instagram. So if you want to follow along, I'm also a success coach at London Real Academy, which a lot of you guys know. I help people achieve their goals. So I put a lot of like success tips, lots of different stuff from my personal life goes on to my at Kiativity Instagram page, and as well as my photo shoots and whatever trips I'm going on and events that I'm doing. And that's all over there. And you will probably see me in this in an upcoming photo shoot on my at Kiativity Instagram page, if you want to check that out or follow along. So, oh, there's something else in here. Girl, did you send me concealer?
That's your makeup. So that's your makeup from your scalp.
Oh, girl. Yeah. So this is exactly what my scalp looks like on my beautiful piece. Wish I knew.
Yeah.
I don't know what to name her. I think I'm
there's one more thing in there.
Is there
one
more else thing in here?
Yeah.
I missed
it. Yeah, there should be.
Oh, you're right. I thought this was like a pillow for her hair. Okay. Okay. So for her to chill on while she was, but there's something else in here. All right. Let me open it up, you guys. I'm going to try to be fast because I know this episode is running long. And all of my episodes for this season have run really, really long. So I want to say thank you for listening for sometimes two and a half hours to these stories, because they're so big. And every female veteran story is so important. And there's no way I'm going to just cut her off. Girl, we're going to hear the story. Okay. Because some part of that story might be a survival guide for somebody else. So we got to do it. Oh my gosh. Look at this. Okay. So what I have now in my hands is a really cute pink t-shirt with a stiletto and a military boot on it with a lot of amazing words on it, like divine and strong and blessed and respect and brave and courage, you know, and woman veteran and courageous and heroic. And it's really, really pretty and really, really cute. I'm going to put it on after this and I will take a selfie in it and post it on my Female Veterans Podcast Instagram. So if you follow me at the Female Veterans Podcast, I'll put it there. And you know what? I'll put it on Twitter. I don't post a lot on Twitter, but I am on there. So if you don't mind, go and follow me there. It's at FemVetPodcast on Twitter. And I'm going to post a picture on there too, actually, because I really have been slacking on my social media and I need to step up my game. So I appreciate your support and all of that. Thank you so much, Tia.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Kia.
Incredible. And I know there's one more thing. So if you've been listening to this and you're like, wow, I want to see the hair, don't worry, you'll see it. But if you're like, I want to know about this, I really would like to have, you know, one of these. I know that Tia is so kind and she loves female veterans so much that she is going to do a giveaway. And so, yeah. Tia, do you want to talk about that before we wrap up the show?
Sure. Absolutely. So if you inbox me, you can go to my, first of all, you can go to my Instagram. It is Her Hair RX. So pretty simple. So H-E-R-H-A-I-R and then R and then X. If you go to Her Hair RX, you can inbox me, DM me, tell me a little bit of your name and, you know, female veteran and, you know, what ranking you were and things of that nature, a little story. And then basically I'm going to be doing a wig giveaway to any female veteran that responds from this podcast. So if you would just hashtag me and Kia to it so we can both see it, I think that would be a great idea. And basically we'll be picking, Kia will be picking a winner from the podcast and announcing who won the free wig giveaway. Make sure you just DM me with all your information so that we can contact you back if you are chosen. So it would be your name, what veteran hospital you would go to. That would be important for me to know, what city you rep, where city you're in, and a little bit about your story. And then obviously just a simple DM would be all I need. And again, Kia is going to pick the winner. So we'll keep you posted on the date of who, you know, when we're doing that winning and that drawing. If you just want to reach out to me in regards to any questions about the wig or anything you need to know so that you can get one with your free, with your prescription, which will be free coverage from your benefits, you know, nothing out of pocket. And you can also inbox me as well and ask away. I'm here to answer all and any questions.
Amazing. So everybody, you know that I will always put all the details in the show notes, which you will know as the description of this episode when you go to click into it, whether you're listening on Apple or Spotify or Google or any of the a million other platforms I'm on, iHeartRadio, Pandora, I'm everywhere now, right? So when you look at the description of the episode, keep scrolling down. All the information is going to be in there, how you can reach Tia and how you can enter to win a free piece, a free custom piece. And we will do that in just about a month. I think we're going to go live on Instagram to do it. So I'll keep you posted and let you know how that's going to play out. But Tia, thank you so much for coming and being a guest. I know that you are also selling merchandise. And yes. I saw on your site some cute American flag pumps, girl. I'm coming for those pumps.
Yes.
4th of July is right around the corner. Yes. Okay. Yes. They are so cute. So check out Tia's merchandise. I will put her website. I'll put all her information in the description box. Sure. And Tia, is there anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
Not so much. I just want to say to everyone, you know, happy Juneteenth again, everybody. I want to wish every female out there that's listening, whether you're a veteran or not, I want to wish everyone a beautiful rest of your holiday, your weekend. Enjoy it, embrace it, and just love the skin that we're in. Ladies, thank you. And Kia, thank you so much for having me again today. I really appreciate being on.
The pleasure has been all mine. And with that, we are going to wrap it up, the special Juneteenth episode, which you will probably hear a week from Juneteenth. So, but it's coming out soon and I hope you've enjoyed it. And I want to thank everybody for your love and your support and continuing to represent for the female veteran community and to show love and the donations and all of that stuff and following on all my social media and all the love that I get on a regular basis for the show. You are so appreciated. Every single one of you is so appreciated. If you would like to share your story with me, do not hesitate to send me a direct message via any of my channels where you can direct message me. I would love to hear your story and connect with you as always. This is such a beautiful community that's growing from this podcast. And I am so grateful to all of you, really, truly. I want to wish you also a beautiful day. Thank you for coming on this journey with me. I will talk to you next time.